Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Right now, I'm absolutely delighted to tell you that on the line we have Chris Yelland. He's an energy analyst. He's a managing director of EE Intelligence, and he seems to be the go-to man when it's anything to do with Eskom. Chris Yelland, thank you for being with us on 101.9 Chai FM this afternoon.
Hi, greetings and to your listeners.
I thought that you would be the guy to unpack the issue of costs. I've tried to understand, I've tried to get to the bottom of the issue between the 23 billion rand and the 13 billion rand sitting in some fund. Chris, take us through, unpack for us, what is it that Eskom have got and what is it that they are wanting?
It's a really complicated story, and I'm sure to the layperson watching this, it's almost incomprehensible. But I'm going to try and make it really as simple and as straightforward as I can.
Sure.
Bottom line is Eskom believes that its prices are 30% too low, that they're not reflective of its real costs and the real cost of doing business, and that the prices need to move upwards by 30%. Now, that's obviously not what customers want to hear. But Eskom says that if you look at international benchmarks, that South Africa's electricity price at the moment is too low. And if you compare it to different countries, obviously using the dollar rate of exchange as the sort of mechanism by bringing it to rand, that South Africa's prices are still amongst the lowest in the world, and that if it was to rise by 30%, South Africa's electricity prices will still be in the bottom third of the world's electricity generators. So it wants to compare its performance with its peers around the world, and it says that its prices are too low. So I think that's the sort of starting point of the argument or of the discussion. The question now, of course, is how does Eskom adjust its prices to become cost-reflective and to make it a sustainable business going forward?
Absolutely.
So that's the real issues.
Yes. So, I mean, besides reading that Eskom has an issue with everybody who is off-grid, apparently they want to put a stop to that because they're losing a hell of a lot of income, they're forcing us back to their services. Surely, Chris, I think it was Einstein who said if you do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, that's indicative of madness. Surely their model has to change. Surely more of the same cannot be a solution.
Yeah. First of all, let me just talk to the tariff issues, and I'm really now talking in broad principles rather than getting to the nitty-gritty of the rands and cents. But as a broad principle, Eskom would argue that you need to have certain you need to have a correct structure to the tariff that is reflective of the kind of costs of their business. And to this extent, what they are suggesting, and to some extent it already exists, but not in all different customer classes, but they're suggesting that there should be a fixed portion to the tariff that does not change depending on how much electricity you use. And then they should have a variable component to the tariff, which is dependent on the amount of electricity that you use. And to be fair, I think that is a correct principle. But of course, the devil is in the detail. So in terms of the fixed component, there is a certain cost of providing grid access, of providing a supply of a certain capacity to a particular customer that does not vary with the amount of electricity that the customer actually uses. And that is a real cost of what is called grid access. Second, another fixed cost would be the administrative cost of reading the meter and issuing a bill every month, some kind of administrative cost. And these are fixed, whether or not you use a lot of electricity or a little bit of electricity. Then you have the variable costs of electricity, which are really the kilowatt hours or the amount of energy that you consume. And currently the tariffs in South Africa, including Eskom tariffs, are very different from this idea. So, for example, in the domestic world of electricity, there is what is known as an inclined block tariff. And what this means is that the price, the rate, the kilowatt hour rate, in other words, the variable cost and rands per kilowatt hour becomes more expensive the more electricity you use. In other words, if you only use up to 50 kilowatt hours, you get free electricity. If you use up to, let's say, 150 kilowatt hours, you're paying a certain rands per kilowatt hour. If you use a high amount of electricity, you could be paying double that. So it really penalizes high consumption of electricity, and that is not cost reflective at all. So really the question, and then there are other tariffs where there is no fixed cost at all. In other words, if you use no electricity in the month, you pay nothing. And of course, that's not cost reflective because it doesn't take into account
sure, the infrastructure.
That it's burdened with fixed costs. So somehow we've got to deal with the tariff structure and get it so that it is cost reflective. And then we've got to start talking about the details of what are the tariff rates. But I'm now talking about the tariff structure as opposed to the tariff rates. And at the moment, we don't have the right tariff structure. And we also have a very, very widely disparate range of tariff rates over hundreds of municipalities and Eskom distributors. The whole situation is a mess. And I do agree that there is now a time to do away with these inclined block tariffs and to put in place a proper tariff structure that is cost reflective, and let's get down to business. And I don't think that really changes the game significantly at all, but it makes the tariff structure transparent and cost reflective and correct going forward. And it's very important to have the right tariff signals because it affects customer behavior.
We're kind of having this discussion on the assumption, it seems to me, that Eskom should one day be profitable. Should it be in a country such as ours? Is it not always going to have to be heavily subsidized given the nature of our society?
Well, as a business, as an Eskom business, as a state-owned entity, and as a company registered in terms of the Companies Act, it should run on business principles in terms of the Companies Act, and it should at least be trying to break even and certainly making a profit. And profit is not a dirty word.
No, I'm not implying profit, that is.
Profit enables innovation. And to do innovative things, you need to make a profit. So I'm a believer that profit is not a dirty word. It's something we should strive for. But having said that, there of course is a need for cross subsidies. Naturally, the poor, people who can't afford electricity, government is entrusted as the elected representative of the electorate to institute policies, and it has every right, I believe, to cross-subsidize and to ensure that there is relief for certain customer categories. The thing is that should come from the fiscus, from government, because it's government social policies. It should not come from Eskom. Eskom is a business. It's registered as a business in terms of the Companies Act, but that doesn't stop government from instituting subsidies to, for example, to give free basic electricity to the poor. But it's not Eskom's job to give free basic electricity to the poor. Eskom may be used as the vehicle through which this is done, but not to actually pay the money out of its own revenue and income.
Chris, we're going to have to leave it there. I'm out of time. Just one last quick question. A listener asking, are we still supplying Mozambique and Zimbabwe, etc.? Are we?
No. Mozambique supplies South Africa, not vice versa. We rely on our neighbors for electricity often. We do trade excess power at times when we do have excess. Through the South African power pool, we trade with our neighbors. And that's a very important balancing mechanism to balance supply and demand. There are times when we import from our neighbors, and there are times when we export from our neighbors. And that is a good thing, not a bad thing. And in the case of Mozambique, which is you mentioned specifically by name, we are a significant net importer from Mozambique via the Cabora Cahora Bassa HVDC line, and we rely on Mozambique. If we didn't have Mozambique, we'd be in load shedding right now, right now.
Sobering, fascinating, interesting. Chris Yellen, thank you so much for talking to us this afternoon. I'm pretty convinced that won't be the last time we chat, but thank you for your time this afternoon.
Great pleasure. Thank you.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.